Miracles. At some stage in our lives, each one of us has prayed for one or asked for one or hoped for one, isn't it? Even if it was just a small one, like, Lord, I have to write this exam and I didn't study as much as I could, and can you just do a miracle and get me through this? Or sometimes for something as big as praying for the results of a diagnosis. But somewhere, somehow, we've all asked for, prayed for, hoped for a miracle. That which is impossible, and then it happens. And in the next few weeks, that's what I'd like to do with you. I'd like to walk with you through a few of these impossible until it happens moments. And my prayer for this series is that during this time, as we walk past these miracle moments, that you will experience God's life-changing power in your own life. That you will experience your impossible until it happens moments. And to start off the series, I'm going to take you to one of those impossible until it happens moments, which we find in Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 11 to 16 with you. I'm going to do them little by little. They'll come up on the screen so you can follow easily on the screen. So Luke 7. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain. Let me just pause there for a second. Soon afterwards means, if you go back to chapter 7, the beginning, Jesus was in Capernaum, and there he healed the servant of a centurion. So he left Capernaum, and now up in Galilee, and he's coming down to this little town called Nain. It's approximately 50 kilometers, okay? So, soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. So I want you to just envision this scene for a second. So here's this large crowd coming from Capernaum with Jesus. And then from Nain, there's this large funeral procession coming out of the town. And now the two of them meet. And very interesting, Luke, being the doctor that he is, he's always telling us how things work. Luke uses very technical terms to describe to us that the person they're carrying out there is dead, and he's really dead, and he's very dead, to make sure that we know he is dead. Even the word for carried out that he uses, a beautiful Greek word, ekomitso. And you know that word from, let me say it again. Let me leave the ek out. Komitso. Have you heard the word committal? That's where it comes from. Ekomitso means to take outside the walls of the city and bury in a grave. So the story that we start with is a really sad story. A mother, a widow, losing her only son. So when Jesus shows up, it's in a moment of complete devastation for this woman. Just remember, the world in which she lived was a different world from today. So in her world right now, she has nothing. She's a widow, so she has no husband to take care of her. Her only child, her son, who was supposed to take care of her, now too has died. So there is no one to support her, no one to care for her, no one to protect her. She has no status. She lives a hopeless life right now. And then Jesus shows up. But just for a second, look at this from her perspective. It's a little too late. Her son is already dead. Yes, she knows about this man who can multiply loaves and fishes, and she heard about sick people that are healed. Hers is just a little different kettle of fish. Her son is already dead. It's over and it's done with. When Jesus shows up, he's a bit too late. Can I hit the pause button on the story for a second and just get you out of the story? And I want to put you into the present day, into our lives. I'm sure many of you have thought those same thoughts or said the same words before. God was just a little too late. I prayed and I prayed, and he hasn't answered the way that I wanted him to answer. And perhaps God doesn't even care. Because if God cares, wouldn't he have shown up before I lost my job? Wouldn't he have shown up before my marriage relationship was beyond repair? Wouldn't he have shown up before I've depleted my financial accounts? Wouldn't he have shown up before? I'm sure Abraham or God's people when they were slaves in Egypt and their children were being killed, or David when he had to flee for his life before Saul, or Daniel when he was dumped in a lion's den, or Paul when they bent him over and they took out the whip again. I'm sure they could all have said that, and yet they chose to trust God anyway. It's called faith. But let me tell you something about faith, and I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you now. Faith is not just believing that God exists. Faith is trusting that God will show up. Trusting that when God shows up, and whenever God shows up, his timing will be perfect. Let me take you back to the story. I want you to notice something. Verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and said, "Don't cry." Did you notice who Jesus saw first? He saw the woman whose life is devastated. He saw the one who was in need of a miracle. He saw the one whose life needed God's life-changing power. Immediately saw that person. But did you notice how he speaks to her and what happens? Did you see when he said, and when Jesus saw her, his heart went out to her? You know that word so well by now in Greek. I've told you that before. I even used it last week. It's that word splachnitsomai, that word that says his whole inside just turned inside. It's filled with compassion, with tenderness, with love, with care, with this heart that just wants to reach out. That's how Jesus looks at this woman in her devastation. And then he talks to her. Did you hear what he said to her? He says, "Don't cry." He doesn't say, "What's wrong with you, woman? Don't you believe in me? Don't you have any faith? Don't you know that I can do anything? Don't you think anything is possible with me?" No. Gentle, kind words comes alongside. "Don't cry. I'm here. I'm here right now, and I'm here at the exact right moment." My friends, we need to understand this in our own lives, because what is our prayer usually? "God, change my circumstances." You know what we should be asking? "Lord, would you please step into my circumstances, into my mess, into my struggle, into my devastation." Because here's the thing. When we invite God into our circumstances, however messy, however devastating they might be, and we allow God to take control of those circumstances, it's in that moment that the impossible happens. You're looking at me and you're saying, "Yeah, right. Let me go to verse 14 with you. Then he, Jesus, went up and touched the bier they were carrying him on. And the bearer stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Now notice something. So here's this hopeless situation. Here's this dead man. And then Jesus walks up to this dead man. Look at two things that he does. He walks up, touches the bier, touches the dead body. Now, can I just explain for you this in a second, what happens here? When Jesus reaches out and touches that bier and that dead man, immediately Jesus makes himself unclean, socially and ritually. So now he would have to go and isolate himself. We know all about that. He cannot meet with people for a while because they will become unclean from him. He's also unclean to go spiritually unclean, ritually unclean to go to the temple. He can't go sacrifice, he can't go pray, he can't go teach, he can't go do anything at the temple. And yet, Jesus willingly walks up and does that. And you're saying to me, Aubrey, are you saying to me that God is prepared to get his hands dirty on my behalf? Impossible, right? Until it happens. I want you to notice the second thing. Did you see who he talks to this time? Not the mother or the crowd. He talks to the dead man. And when he talks to the dead man, he says to him, "Young man, I say to you," and then in Greek it's only one word, "get up." And you're saying to me, are you saying that by just one word, Jesus can change this death? And this injustice and all this tragedy? Impossible, right? Until it happens. Let me take you to verse 15. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Hopeless situation. Devastating, and Jesus is too late and shows up too late, can't do a thing. And then he talks to a dead man, and he's alive. Impossible until it happens. His mother was hopeless, her world was gone, and to her it was too late until Jesus showed up at the right moment, at the right time. And he gave back not just her son, her whole life. Impossible, right? Until it happens. Here's the thing, my friends, I know we all, you, my friends, have lost so much in this past year. I get that. Some of you are still devastated by the loss of a loved one and funerals only 10 people. And how hard was that? I know, because I was there. Some of you have lost relationships because COVID was just too hard and it just couldn't work with all of this stuff. Some of you lost your sense of security because you lost your job. You're not even sure if you're going to get that job back. Your hours were cut back. I get that. Some of you lost that which you love to do so much. I'm just thinking of these students that need to go back to school and they're sitting home and they want to be with their peers and their friends and they want to be in school with their teachers. And they've lost that. Teachers who are frustrated because they want to be in a classroom with these students to teach them. Some of you have just lost hope. And I get that. And I'm not making light of that. But here's the thing. Here's the story of a woman whose whole life is gone. She's on her way to bury her last hope. And then Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, it's not just to come walk next to her, put his arm around her and say, I am so sorry for you and I hope you feel better. May God bless you. When Jesus shows up, the impossible happens. No wonder verse 16 says, they were all filled with awe and they praised God and said, a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. You know what's so amazing about this story? It doesn't tell us about their great faith. It doesn't tell us about all the things that they did to deserve this. It's a story of hope. But it's a story that reminds us that the hope that we have, that God will show up, does not come from what we can or we can't do, what we did or didn't do. But the hope that we have that the impossible will happen is centered in what God can do. The God who shows up at the exact right moment, whose timing is always perfect. That's our hope. God who shows up. And when God shows up, he's on time. For here's the thing. It's only the God that showed up in a manger, the God that walked this earth with us and understands us, the God who was nailed to a cross, the God who was put in a grave and who showed up 3 days later as he walked out of that grave and overcome came death. It's that God that to this day shows up. And when he shows up, the impossible happens. But here's the question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he can show up in your most difficult times and be on time? Do you believe that he will show up when you need him most, even if you don't get it? Well, folks, can I say something? There's a miracle waiting to happen for you. Amen. Let's pray. God, who is always on time, thank you. Thank you that you show up. And your timing, Lord, is perfect. Just when we think it's not going to be, you are there. Sometimes we want something and we expect something and we want to do it and it doesn't happen and we wonder where you were. And then a little while later, you show up in a way that just stuns us. And we don't even begin to understand that. But that's who you are. Because you are the God of miracles. And our hope is in you. And our trust is in you. Who will come and stand next to us and hold us and say, don't cry. I'm here at the right time. Who can say even to the most devastating moment, get up, and it will listen. For you have planned it, Lord, and we thank you. So thank you that our lives are safe in your hand. All of the things that even seem impossible, they're there in your hand, and you take care of that. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you showed up, and that you are going to show up again one day when you come on the clouds. And we will rejoice. It is in your precious name we pray. Amen.